Amy, your dad said he doesn't want a foot rub, just that you know that. I talked to him, so. That's been confirmed. And Chad was wondering, when you talked about the pig appearing and you mentioned me, he was wondering if they were all in the same breath. Were you referring to me showing up, or was there an actual real pig? That's what Chad wanted to know, so. All right, so those are the two questions I have. We're going to move forward. Oh, I'm so glad this extra bright light. Well, see, the first service, since we're not live, we don't have to have that bright light on me, but I love it, so I'm not going to complain anymore. This morning, we're going to share a few things. I'm going to welcome some visitors. I always like to welcome just those that came from Wisconsin, right? We got all of us from Wisconsin. So thanks for coming out. I'm glad you drug Kevin here because, you know, he every once in a while he likes to see me and the rest of the family. And all the others, any other visitors, want to welcome you guys for coming out this morning. We're appreciating you here, and we're going to celebrate Father's Day. This Father's Day, we're going to use one word, and the word is honor. Many of you know in Ephesians chapter 6, if you'd like to turn there right away, we're going to read these first three verses. And this is one of those phenomenal promises that we have been given. But I'm going to kind of take a twist. We're not going to really talk about fathers. We're going to share a little bit, and we're going to talk more about honor itself. Because of what's going on around us in the world today, I believe that we have lost a culture of honor. And we're going to share a little bit about that. So verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on this earth. What a blessing that is that when we create a culture of honor when it comes to our parents, we are blessed in return for long life. Not because they, you know, you've heard the phrase, I brought you in this world and I can take you out of this world. That's not what this verse means, even though it might be where it came from. But the real story is when we create a culture of honor in our parents, it causes a blessing to be upon us. And if people understood the power of blessing when you walk in honor of those in authority over us, and today that's what I like to talk about. We have lost the culture of honor. If you would take... go ahead while you're there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a couple verses that we are living in right now, and I just want to show you. This is right here. Verse 1 says this, that you may also in the last days perilous times will come. Perilous times. We're talking about we are living in the last days, and we're going to describe what perilous times are. When people are falling away from truth, falling away from the Word of God. I mean, when we grew up, many of us, it was a different world. The Bible was honored. There wasn't nearly as much hatred towards. We're seeing more persecution for righteousness. We're seeing the word being mocked. We're seeing Christians being completely ignored and our voices being silenced. But here, check out some of the definitions of what happens with perilous times. For men should be lovers themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, heady-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And there is such a way to turn away. We are living in a world, these things are all evident everywhere. I can read them and you're like, oh yeah, but just check out that one in there. It says, disobedient to parents. I just think that's odd. That and the list of all these bad things that are coming in the world, we have listed also that we are creating a culture that children do not obey their parents, which we just read in Ephesians 6. This morning, my heart is this. If you take your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to spend a few minutes there talking about Eli. And I say a few. We're just going to kind of share the story with you. It's more actually. Eli had a couple sons. They weren't very good ones. Matter of fact, if you look at the first four, this is what the Bible says about them. Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. That's not a compliment, in case you're wondering. They were spawns of Satan. They were not very good, respected children. You're going to find out, which we're not going to read. I'm going to give you an overview of it all, so we're not going to read all 30 verses. But these sons would offer strange offerings. They would disgrace the altar of God. They would do ungodly acts in the house of the Lord. They just defame everything that God was supposed to be honored in his home, and Eli built, his sons were destroying it. One, and they just, it was horrible. They're offering strange fire. They just really, these kids knew how to ruin the things of God. But I want to, the parallel here is this. As a church, are we doing much better? Just let me have a minute here. What are we doing with the things of God that are supposed to be treated holy? What are we doing with the things of God that he says, hey, this is the way he wants to live. He wants the way us talk, and he wants us to act a certain way. Are we maybe not doing some of the things they did, but are we honoring the Lord in such a way that we represent his kingdom the way it should? There's some of those definitions in 1 Timothy 3. Do they line up with some of the things that we see in our own lives? Lovers of self, boasters. We got to start thinking that we could rip apart his children for being so terrible. Or we can realize that maybe is there a little bit of that in us, that we are dishonoring the Lord in some things and not showing him the ultimate honor, which we'll get to in a minute. But if you jump with me in verse 30, wherefore, this is finally enough. So at this point, they were confronting Eli, people around him, the priests. They're like, hey, listen, your kids are nuts. You should see the things they're doing. Chatter became really bad, and they knew there were going to be consequences at that point. So finally, God's like, okay, the buck stops here. I'm going to have to take matters of my own. Listen, Eli, I've got to talk to you. Verse 30, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And them that despise me, I shall lightly esteem. This verse right here was a key verse in a teaching. I think Mark, a couple years ago, we did it on Friday nights. It was a 20-something week series by Keith Moore. Great teaching. If you like in-depth teaching, I will say this. When you're listening to Keith Moore's teaching, listen all the way through. The next one, you can fast forward about 20 minutes because he reviews it so much. So even though it's 20 weeks, he's excellent at reviewing and keeping up. So it's a lot of good teaching, but he did a whole series on what it meant to honor. And the definition he gave that I really appreciate that stuck with me was to honor means to make a great deal, to make something a big deal about somebody or something, to show such great respect. And when we get that way with God, what does he say? Well, you make a big deal, you respect me, I'm going to respect you, I'm going to make a big deal about what you're doing. When you honor me, I'll honor you. But when you despise me, like his children were doing, I will lightly esteem you. And it was a teaching by John Bevere one time that we were listening to back in the day that talked about the word, and I think Pastor Kenny mentioned this in one of the messages he did last year. But he talked about the word lightly esteem would be like taking a shower in a bathroom, which is normally where you take showers, by the way. And you have the mirror that gets all steamed up. And to lightly esteem would be to kind of wipe it away as if that never existed. God didn't say, you despise me, I'm just going to lightly esteem you. I'm not going to make a deal of it. I'm going to pull my hand of blessing away because of the choices you've made. And I believe if you really would like to settle into where we are as a nation, my concern, and I'm going to try to stay as apolitical as possible just because I'm not one who likes to jump on political stuff. But we live in a culture right now where we're seeing this, where we're not honoring the Lord, we're not honoring each other, and we're despising each other, despising the Lord, and there's things being so rampantly lightly esteemed around us. We have race problems, we have gender problems, we have political, we have so much division right now, and I think it comes back to this thing about honoring. I'm going to only do one soapbox. Since my brother's here, they think I was the favorite child growing up, which was not true at all. I was. Okay, he says, I was. Who cares? I was the most loved kid. No, anyways, I think my mom and dad said they loved us all the same. They really did. Differently, but the same. Okay, we'll move on. Okay, so now that I missed that whole, see, that first service, I couldn't do that. But since you're here, I can. But we had a little jar growing up that he didn't have growing up, so I'm going to show you how the parallel is not the same. We had a little swear jar. You didn't have that. No, you didn't. Anyway, so I'm going to ignore him for a minute. This jar had Psalms 23. It says, keep thy tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. And any time that we spoke something that was, and by the way, forgive me for, I'm going to use a word that might be offensive to some of you, but believe it or not, this was like a, if I use the word crap, that was a cuss word to my mom, and we put money in that jar. I have no idea, by the way, what my mom did with that jar, but as I got older, the words got worse. That's what I wasn't walking with Jesus very well. My words got worse, and her jar got bigger. And especially my mom said, when I just listened to you and your friends play basketball out there, I had the window open, you should see my tally on all the words that were used. It wasn't very good for me. But see, but I grew up in a home where we had structure. We had rules. We had guidelines. My dad had a belt that was used. And I know that to some people might be offensive, but it taught me a lesson that, by the way, if you put your hand there to protect yourself, it didn't count as one. But my hand was still hurting, okay? Like, no, you think you'd get smart, but I didn't. And I got that hand lit up because I didn't count as one. Let's do it again. I'm like, no. But you see, I didn't have that many of them growing up because I learned my lesson when I did. And unfortunately, the first service, my son wasn't in this story, but this is a cute story. He won't get too mad at me, I hope. But see, when my son, my first kid, I'm young at this, I don't know what to do. And so my son was about yay big, barely walking. And he walked over to I had a CD case that had a bunch of CDs in it. And he walked over and I said, Joshua, no. And he looks at me and goes, kept walking. I'm like, I know he heard me. I know that kid heard me. I know he might be little, and this might be my first one, but I know he heard me. He walks over. I said, Joshua, Daddy said, no. He looked over at me, took his hand and grabbed the CD and threw it on the ground. I went over there, and with two fingers, just so you guys don't think I'm going to be, I just smacked his hand. Now, my mother-in-law was there, and she, oh, what'd you do? He looked at me, the same look he gives me this day, by the way, mortified that I dared touch his hand. And then it turned into when he realized that mama and all was going to get compassion, then he starts crying, all making me feel like this big. But I'm going to tell you the reason why I love that story is that CD case was there the rest of him growing up, and he never touched it one more time. Children want boundaries. You take psychology, all this stuff. Children need boundaries set by those in authority. Adults need boundaries. Speed limits are. Let's use a different one. You know, we got to be careful. Some things are meant. Where's Jared? Jared's still here? Yes. There he is. Hey, Jared, how you doing over there? So if you see his trooper's vehicle come up behind you, just smile and say, Officer Pond, nice to see you. How fast was I going? But anyways, boundaries aren't bad. But they need to be enforced. If you think going ahead and letting children raise up in an environment where there's no boundaries, that's wrong. Spare the rod, spoil the child, like it or not. That's what whom the Lord loves, he scourges, he rebukes, he reproves them. He teaches them and trains them. He puts boundaries there so they know when no means no. And when we create a culture of honoring those boundaries, we will create a culture that honors boundaries outside the home too. I believe fundamentally we have been criticized as Christians for the way we raise children, so we take off all boundaries and our children can be very disrespectful. I'm not talking about any of the kids in this church. There's not an example I could give you right now off the top of my head, and I mean that with all my heart. I don't see a lot of it, but I go out in public and I see these kids, the way they talk to their parents, and I'm thinking, you know what you need? You need a little two-finger slap. Maybe a little bit. Some of these kids might need a little more than that. But I look at this. These kids have never been taught boundaries. You know what they're doing? They're keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it until they get one. That's what children do. They push the boundary until they meet the wall and they stop. You know, you've seen the analogy where they tie a rope around an animal and they can only go so far. And after a while, they take the rope and the fences and the boundaries off. And you know what? That animal never goes any further because they were trained. We have lost the ability to train children, to train ourselves in good behavior. And therefore, our boundaries are completely been annihilated. And people say, I don't understand, brother. Why don't you cheat on your wife? Why don't you lie about that thing? Why don't you steal? Why? Because my boundaries were set a long time ago according to God's word, and therefore it's wrong. And I don't do it because it's the boundary God put in my life. Not because someone could see me or someone could catch me, but I don't do it because God would be I would be dishonoring the Lord because of the boundaries I've set in my life. So I don't do those things because they would dishonor the Lord. And if we got to get back to setting fundamental boundaries in our life to honor God and to honor each other. And that's what happened right here. You honor me, I'll honor you. You show me what honor is, and God shows us his honor back. And you know what? You see people blessed and living in the life of blessing because they honor God. And I just shared this a couple weeks ago about Jacob and about the blessing that was on his life because of, and then he brought Laban blessing and everybody else. Because when we walk in the blessing of God, others around us can see it and experience it. And that's what we got to do as Christians. We got to get back to a place where we honor the Lord. And before I'm done with my little soapbox, and by the way, it's all in my notes. You can ask the first service. This is nothing. I'm just preaching because I see a few families that need it. No, it's because when we can get back to a culture of honor with our children in our homes, it will create an honor outside there. We won't have people throwing rocks through windows. We won't have people doing horrible things in the streets. And I'd say there is a difference between protesting and rioting. There is. And I understand because I have had some very good conversations with black, white. I understand there has been wrong done in every area and we need to do a lot better job. But as Pastor Kenny even said a couple weeks ago, by the way, did you see his podcast in the first service? Mike said that they saw him in the mountains of Colorado out there doing his Sermon on the Mount is what they said they call. But if you didn't get a chance, he did a podcast live from Colorado earlier this week, and hopefully, I think they get back. I don't know, they get back sometime this week. But hopefully, there. But a couple weeks ago, he shared this from a scientific point of view. There is no race. And not only do I love Kenny for sharing that, I actually listened to this, I don't even know who the guy was, big black guy preacher. And he was a science guy. Just, I'm like, boy, look, and went word for word what Kenny said. He goes, listen, race is something we do to divide people. Race is something we bring up to cause strife and indifference and our differences amongst us. And he said this, he goes, the only difference between me and you out there is I got more melatonin in my skin than you do. And so don't be jealous because I'm a little bit darker than you is what he said. He goes, because we are the same DNA, and the only difference is a little bit of skin tone and melatonin. But boy, you wouldn't say that today. Blacks and white, we're different. And yet, and then another pastor in South Carolina, I played the clip on Monday night for our men's group, that he said, he has a church, I don't know, thousands of people were out there, I don't know, 20,000 people. And he said, I really wanted to play the clip for you this morning, but I decided not to. But he said, the number one tool of the enemy right now is to divide. So we glorify things that divide, and you don't get the fact that there's some more things. Did you see the prayer meeting in Minnesota last week, anybody? No? Hold on, seriously. Anybody? One? Anybody else? Two, three, four. Okay, four people saw it. Last week, they had a group of people come to the very place where this riot took, where this event took place, and said, we're just going to stand here, and we're going to go and pray. And people began to get gathered to pray, and what happened was there were still rioters there. And what you don't see on CNN or Fox News or anybody else you watch, you didn't see the fact that those rioters that were there angry and these people they were praying came together and they both got on knees together to pray and they saw people getting saved, they saw healing taking place and restoration take place. That's what God does when he shows up. But the world and the media and everybody else wants to say this great chasm of division when it's not as big as we think it is. Yes, there are problems, and there are fundamental issues that I'm sure need to be dealt with. But Jesus can unite all. Let me get to that in a minute. I'm going to jump ahead of my notes. So this morning, I'm going to give you 3 points before we leave about honoring. 1 Peter 2:17 says this, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Pretty black and white. Honor, love, reverence God, and honor the king that God has put in our lives. Whether it's your boss, whether it's the president, whether it's the mayor, no matter what it is, we honor those positions that God puts in our life. So these three things. Number one, we need to honor God's authority ultimately. And when we honor God's authority is that we love him and we honor his word. Matthew 22:37 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, one says, with all thy mind. And then it goes on to say, love your neighbors yourself. The number one way we can honor God is to show our love for him in the way that our lifestyle is lived, the way our actions are presented to people, our conversations, our convictions, and our choices. We honor God by living out his word. If his word says don't do it, we should not want to do it. We should honor him that whether we have a computer or a phone or whatever device you use that gets on the internet, just because no one else can catch you doesn't mean you're not dishonoring the Lord. Just because no one else knows what you do when you take a business trip, guess what? That's not between them, and it's between you and God now. You know, you can be in conversations that you know you shouldn't be in. You can be in places you shouldn't be. You should be doing things you shouldn't be doing. And here's the deal. We know that ultimately we don't do those things because we honor God, not because we're going to get caught. The reason I don't live a life that is contrary to God's word is not because I think I'm going to get caught by somebody. It's because it dishonors the Lord. That is number one. We want to talk about honor. We honor God and his word by living it out. And then in Matthew 15:8, it says this, these people, the people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is so far from me. That's a quote out of Isaiah 29:13. And so these people on the outside, because he was talking about the Pharisees, by the way, and how they're whitewashed tombs, and now the outside looks good, but their heart is so wicked. As Christians, could that be said about us? That we, on the outside, we try to look good, but on the inside, when no one's around, where conviction and integrity really stand, what decisions are we making then? That's a challenge I have for everyone in this room. If the Lord says it's wrong, it's wrong. Whether he's the only one that sees it or whatever, it's still wrong. Because we honor the Lord first. And when we honor him, we get honored back, according to what we just read. So let's honor the Lord with our lifestyle, not just when people are around, but when no one's around. You know, if there's a stop sign in the middle of the cornfield and no one's around, do you stop? Just asking you. And as people are pointing at each other right now, very disrespectful. I cannot believe you're pointing at your husband, Brandy. Oh, I guess I said that out loud. We stop because it's right. I mean, you might be a rolling stop. I mean, I might do that. I'm not going to lie. It might be more like a pause than a stop, but we're still slowing down at least. But, I didn't, this is just a quick story. I was driving home one time. I was in my early 20s. I was leaving work one day, and I had a McDonald's. I just got done eating McDonald's, and I had a bag of trash, and I threw it out. I've shared this story before, y'all. And I threw it out the window, like, no big deal. Someone will pick it up. That's what they get. You know, someone gets paid to pick that up, I'm sure. And it was just starting to snow that night. And I drive, I take a right, and as I'm driving down the next road, the conviction of the Lord hit me. I know it sounds silly to some of you, but it wasn't for me. That's littering. You need to go back and pick that up. Oh, no. So I turn around, it's snowing, it's cold. I'm like, where did I throw this? It probably took me 15 minutes to find that stupid bag. But I picked it up, put it back in my car. And you know what? That was a lesson for me. The Lord has put on my heart. And later on, as I was praying, the Lord has put on my heart. No one was around, but I was. Will you honor me with those little things, even as silly as that sound? Because I want to show you, if you honor me with those little things, that's the way I want to live before the Lord. Number two, we have to learn how to honor those in authority on this earth. Romans 13 is a very popular chapter about talking about God putting those in authority that belong there. He ultimately is all authority, and he puts authorities in us. So Romans 13 says this, but we're going to, turn there first. There we go. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Boy, we read that, it's so difficult sometimes. Because some of you who don't like certain politicians, and I shared this on the first service, but I'm going to be careful because I'm going to leave it genderless this time because it might show a little bit more since we're live. I'm going to try to be a little bit more politically correct. But there are certain politicians when they get on TV that I have this thing inside of me that doesn't act well. They start speaking and I just want to say things, and I do. I talk to my TV as if they could hear me, by the way. I sometimes tell them what I really think about them, by the way. Okay, I'm just letting you know, I'm a human being. I have these thoughts and these feelings and emotions. And I get so angry because I think, how can you say such stupid things? You dishonor those that you serve. And yet I know there's times lately where I've just been convicted. I just need to turn the TV off or turn the channel. You know, I'm this kind of guy, in case you guys don't know, I'm what they call the comment guy. I read the article just so I can read the comments underneath it. That's way more fun. The articles might stink, but boy, these comments, get the popcorn out. It's great. I mean, these people, because they don't have nothing to lose. They lash out, and it's like, whoo, did you read that one? I mean, and then I got to stop and go, wait a minute. That's feeling something in me that's not healthy either. It's dividing even more. That's not honoring the Lord. It's not honoring those in authority over us. And so what do? Maybe we turn the TV off and we pray for that individual that we seem to have such a dislike for. Now, I've still voiced my opinion against it. There's still times where I'm going to voice, I don't agree with certain views. I mean, when it comes to someone, you know, someone asked me the other day, well, I don't understand. You vote for a pro-life president and they did nothing about it. No, 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 no. Here's the deal. I vote for a pro-life president or anybody else because it tells me what kind of integrity they have. If you can kill babies and have no conviction about it and call it a right to choose, that tells me the way you view life. Just saying. Do I think, would I love to see abortion gone? I'd love to see not one more abortion ever. Is it going to happen? I don't know. We can keep praying because it's murder. But I also know that we have a political system that people are still going to do it, and there's women's lives at risk. So why can't we do something and fix the system, like help these women beforehand and during the process, and whether we have a better plan? If we're going to spend billions of soapbox, I got to stop. If we're going to spend billions of dollars a year on abortion, why don't we spend that on adoption? On ways to get around. Why can't we put that kind of money? We're taking my tax-paying money and we're putting it towards killing babies. Why can't we put it towards helping the mother have the child and give it to a family who wants a child? This is an answer that we don't hear because we need to realize we got to keep praying for this because all life is important. So if I have a politician who tells me they're pro-choice and they're pro-abortion, the reason I can't vote for them is because it tells me what kind of integrity they have, not because of what political lean they have. Just saying. Okay, that was all free. I better stop. Okay, let's get back to honoring our Paula. So we have to learn how to honor those people. And right now, there's a war going on. And I'm not saying it because I said it before, Jared Pond was a police officer. But I'm the kind of guy that wore a t-shirt to back the blue. When I saw this week a video of someone who had the American flag with a blue line in it get burned, burn it in their driveway and wrote some nasty spray paint on their about the flag they had and burned it. These things make me irate because these are the men and women who protect and serve to keep us safe. And yes, as I stood right here a couple weeks ago and talked to a very good friend of Ann, a state police officer, and he made it very clear to me that the officer who did that horrible act a couple weeks ago in Minnesota was reprimanded 17 times earlier and should never have been a police officer. He doesn't represent the police very well. And there's many out there that probably don't. But guess what? Oh, see, the first service, I used a plumber example, and I got a plumber here now. But, you know, and this is not Evan. He's a great plumber. But they're bad plumbers. You know what happens? When you get a bad plumber, you got a leak still. Not with Evan, though. Not him. So, you see, we have bad apples in every batch. It doesn't make all of them bad. It makes it where we have to learn that no matter what, we respect the authority that's been given. And if a police officer comes behind you, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, really does work. Because when you treat them with respect, I guarantee you that's their training to do the same thing. And we learn how to treat our politicians, our first responders. Or if the other day when I had to go to the doctor for something because a little mistake that was made, and I had to go get something. I had to go to the emergency room real quick. I walked in, and I'm not one who likes wearing these masks. I'm not gonna lie, but as soon as I walked in, they put it on for me. Here you go, sir. I'm like, thank you. That's what I wanted today. But I kept it on because why? It was their rules. You honor those things whether you agree or not. I mean, as soon as I got in my room, I took it off. I'm just letting you know, I asked first. But you see, when we learn to create a culture of honor, we honor those things because it's normal, it's right. Someone doesn't have to go back and teach me to honor a police officer because I was taught to honor my mom and dad growing up and honoring those with Mr. and Mrs. and yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. We grow up in a place and we create that culture of honor. It creates it when we're grown-ups, and so we don't have problems with the law, despite of anything else. And so we learn to honor God, we learn to honor those in authority, but last but not least, we need to learn to honor one another. Romans 12:10 says this: be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. People, I hope if you're around me or I'm around you, this could be said of all of our lives, that we love people, but we show them preference because we honor everyone. We don't have discrimination. We don't have black, white. Galatians 3 says this: in the kingdom of God, there's no male nor female, Jew nor Greek, black nor white. There's no race. There's no gender. God looks at every single person as a child of God, whether no matter what gender they are, no matter what color they are. We are all in God's red and yellow, black and white. We're all precious in his sight. I grew that as a kid. We sang that song. That is how God views us, and that's how we need to start viewing each other. Honoring you no matter what color you are, no matter what gender you are, we honor you because you're one of God's children. And if you're not born again, we learn how to honor you that way and love you more. You know, many of you all know, I don't pull back on my beliefs. I believe the word of God is very clear about gender, about sexuality, about all these things. But it doesn't mean I can't love those people if they disagree with me, because when the woman was caught in the midst of adultery in John chapter 8, Jesus didn't say, yeah, you wicked sinner, how many people have you slept with? No, it was, hey, where are your accusers? I won't accuse you. I won't condemn you. But you need to leave the life of sin you're in. There's always a change when it comes to Jesus. Why can't we bring people to that place, to Jesus, where he can bring the change in their life, that they will have no longer affections that were wrong, there's a lot of confusion about gender. Why can't we bring the Jesus in love so the repentance can come at that moment? We need to honor people. Because if you get into a fight long enough with someone who disagrees with you, they're going to walk away still disagreeing with you and probably hating you and hating the God that you talked about. Another quote that we grew up hearing a lot with my dad was, a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. I can yell and scream at you all day, fight it for you all day, but a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. You will not normally strong arm someone into convincing them they're wrong. But listening to them, loving them, and try to bring them truth in a way that's honoring them, maybe they'll get through them better. Rather than fighting and, you know, do you remember that church over there that pickets funerals for our military and homosexuals and says God hates fags? Tell me what good that's doing. Not one bit of good. All it's doing is perpetuating hate and dishonor, not love and honor. We've got it now. Do I disagree? Do I still want to pray and have these people get saved? Yes, I do. Just because I disagree with you doesn't mean I can't love you and show honor to where you're at in your life. But we can do a better job so we can show Christ to them in areas. And when we find ourselves in differences, whether it's race, gender, even different religions, you know how many times I've had a chance to sit down. By the way, if some of you right now sit across the whether it's Jehovah's Witness or it doesn't matter whatever religion it is, you can sit there and I'm gonna be honest. If you listen long enough and not argue, you will get a time and a place to share back. I know of a great story of a friend of mine. The Jehovah's Witness would come to his door, knock on it. He'd let him in. He'd go, "Hey, now that you're here, let's talk." And he'd listen to him. And every week they kept coming back. Because he kept listening and kept listening and kept listening. And one day he goes, "Can I share something with you?" Like, "Oh, of course. You've been so wonderful to be around." And he shares the gospel with them in a way using all their last few weeks of information, but just twisting in such a way with truth from God's word. And he had a chance to pray with those two Jehovah's Witnesses to bring them to Jesus. And eventually got them to come over to their church. And I must, because the man knew, he's a great guy. He knew how to love them and listen to them because he knew God put them in their life. And at the right time, he honored them in such a way. He could have ran them off and said, you guys are going to hell. Get out of here. That would have done no good. We've got to learn how to honor people better. And so whether it's our parents on Father's Day or whether it's those in authority, whether it's people who are different than you, or whether it is the Lord himself, we're good, Chad, if you want to come on up. We have got to create a place of honoring the Lord in everything we do. And that's this Father's Day. That's my message, is this. Let's bring honor back. whether it's a police officer. You know, in the first service, I also mentioned this. We have in this church, both first service and this one, we have people who have served our military. And I love it because they were willing to pay the ultimate price for our protection and freedom. Do we honor them? There's a place down in Evansville, actually there's a place in Nashville, the Mission Barbecue. I don't mind giving them a shout out because it's great. We go to Mission Barbecue, and the few times we've been there at lunch, and we sit there, and at noon, every single day, they stop and they play the national anthem, and everyone stands at the flag. And one day we were there, and I don't remember, Justin, you might remember, but there was a big cardboard check sitting on the wall. And it was something like $4.3 million. And it was on, I guess it was on Fox News that morning, that Mission Barbecue raised $4.3 million for the SGO. By just these cups they sell, they give all the profit. So if you want a large, if you go extra large and you get the plastic take-home cups, they give every dollar to the military. $4.3 million were given to that organization, that military organization. I'll go eat there every time. Because they support our troops. Not because I'm an old-fashioned redneck guy. I really believe that when we learn to honor God, honor one another, and honor those that have paid the price for us in such a way, it creates a culture of continuing to honor everyone around us. Amen. Fine, be that way. I sound much better in my mic anyways. I don't care. Let's do this. Let's stand to our feet. And, you know, there's a part of me in the first service I do. I want to pray a prayer that I did for our nation and for you. And then when I'm done, the altars are open every single Sunday. We're here. If you want someone to pray with you, stand with you, agree with you, if you're going through a battle in your life and you need someone to pray with you, I just strongly encourage you, come on up here while we're singing this last song and have someone stand in agreement. But let's pray. Father, You see what's going on in our nation right now. There is so much division, so much strife, but it's because we keep focusing on the division. So today we make a choice. We pray for the black and the white communities, Hispanic, that we would stop looking at our differences and maybe even some of the injustice and inequality that's taken place over the years. I know that it's there, but may we reach out with love and honor towards each other. And if we truly lived out that verse, honoring one, preferring one another in honor, it wouldn't matter what color they were or what gender they were. We would just do it because it honors you, God. And may this church today, this in Martinsville, Indiana, start by creating a new place in our hearts that we want to honor you. We want to honor our those in authority. We pray for our police department right now all across this nation where they're getting ambushed and shot at. Their officers dying, and we're not even hearing about it because it's not popular to share that. But Lord, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around our first responders and cover those that are serving overseas in the military and those that have served our country. Lord, we thank you right now that there's a place of honor we give them because of the decisions and the choices they've made to make sacrifices in their families and their life. So may we, as children of God, learn what it means to show honor and teach honor to those behind us, that we can regain, we can hope again that honor would be taught in our children, that they would honor authority, they would honor people around them in such a way that you would be honored in all these things. So we thank you for what you're going to do in this today, and we do pray such a blessing over all the fathers in Jesus' name. Amen.